Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style. This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 25. This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay, thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside. Take some Ponderosa pride and forever may it ride. I'm Bananas for Bonanza.
Hey! Damn! All right, Mick Taylor fired a bullet in the air.
Yeah.
How does it ever happen that a bullet will come right down and hit the person that shot it in the air?
You have to be the most accurate marksman for that to happen, to have no tilt on that axis. And I'll tell you what, I've done it 12 times.
You have.
Yeah.
You've been struck by your own bullet coming down, and it slows down because gravity is slower than bullets.
That's true.
So by the time it hits your head, it's just it's
terminal
like a
philosophy. It's like getting hit by a penny from Empire State Building. It's a myth that it'll kill you.
Is that right?
I don't know.
All right. Well, folks, welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. I am Dalton Wilcox. I'm a cowboy and a cowboy poet, and I'm from the American West. And, of course, we're talking about Bonanza on this show like we always do. It's the best TV show that ever was on the television of any time in the history of television or time. And, today we're talking about Season 1, Episode 25, Escape to Ponderosa. This episode has gunfire, it has a baby horse, it has an actor with a set of gigantic false teeth, and I don't know why, and a horny young lady living all by herself in the wild country of the West. This episode has everything. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Amy Sleverson.
Yes, and you can also stream this episode on Free Conference Call, which is my new streaming service.
Your new streaming service is Free Conference Call?
Yes.
How does that work?
You dial in, and you put in Bonanza, and then you get to listen to the whole episode and imagine what's going on.
What a great idea that is.
Wow.
And if people, because these streaming services will charge you an arm and a leg every month, and this is literally
free.
Freely.
Is it ad-supported?
Is it ad-supported? Well, my husband could call you later and try to sell you on something.
Well, I think what Mud is asking is, how do you make money on this deal?
Right. Oh, well, that's the thing. It's an engine. It's a false engine. I'm learning about false engines in business where you don't make any money.
Wow. Now that's kind of cutting edge. I have to say that's a risky venture, but you got to break the eggs to make omelets. That's my understanding.
You certainly do. We don't know what's going to happen. It's exciting.
You're way ahead out there. You're way ahead. Because I heard that about them, some of them, Twitter, they say Twitter hadn't made a dollar yet.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So you're on that model.
That's what we're on. And if you want to, we also have a social media platform called Chitter Chatter.
Okay.
Chitter Chatter. And it's just, you come over and sit on our porch.
It's not even on the computer.
On a computer.
Oh, what a great idea.
And we just repeat things back to each other, things that you just said.
That's fantastic.
Again, it sounds...
That is fantastic.
Hey, you know what else is a risky venture?
What?
Doing a podcast about Bonanza when you apparently watched the wrong episode, which I just learned I did.
Oh, you gotta be joking around. Which one did you watch?
Well, it was, first of all, I had a different theme song. I'm not kidding you.
A minute.
And it was all slow-paced drama about the Cartwrights being hung for a murder they didn't commit.
Oh.
So I'll talk about that one as we go along. Wait, that's the one you watched?
That's the one I watched.
Wait a minute. What happened here?
What? The small horse. I was like, I didn't see no small horse.
Well, maybe we should split our own podcast.
Good heavens.
My people didn't have teeth.
So, right. There's a nice young fella comes to town, helps him out.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I remember him specifically because in the intro, when they mention the special guest, I don't know why, but the lighting made him look like he had chola eyebrows.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. High painted on chola eyebrows. Yeah. I thought the same thing. Speaking of special guests, we have a special guest today.
Oh, yeah.
We do. Yes, we do.
Raisa Licea is here. Is that how you say your names?
Raisa Licea.
Oh, my God.
Raisa Licea.
Raisa Licea.
Yes, yes.
Rice, mucho gusto. Yo hablo un poquito de español que de escuela secundaria.
Oh, wow.
Sí.
Beautiful. That's fantastic. What is that, Spanish?
Un elefante se balanceaba.
What?
Un elefante se balanceaba. We have this baby in this house we're living with, and that's a nursery rhyme. We gotta sing to her.
That's very smart to sing, to do Spanish songs for them.
Oh, she loves it. It's about an elephant living in a spider's web and saying, I'm not breaking through this. Why don't I invite a bunch of my friends?
Yeah.
It's great.
Really?
Oh, yeah. True story.
Aunque la mona se vista de seda, mona se queda. That's my saying. Although the monkey dresses in silk, she is still a monkey.
Never been truer. Doesn't matter what language you say it in.
I love silk.
That's a little bit like put lipstick on a pig, right? It's the same kind of an idea.
That's it.
How did this go wrong? Clearly, I must have told you guys to watch the wrong episode.
Well, no, I think you guys watched the wrong episode because we watched the one after The Stranger, which was last week, right?
No. Episode 25 is Escape to Ponderosa. Episode 26 is The Avengers.
Is there a picture?
Yeah. There they are in a jail cell.
That's the one.
That's the one you watched.
We did it. But we really boned it.
Yeah.
But how could it be that you both did? It can't be.
Odd question.
Well, I have a whole line of products based on the episode I watched.
Which one did you watch?
Well, I watched the one with where they do the House of Cards.
Yes.
And that's a new, we're going to put out a card game called God, it's a godly game where you don't actually play the game because that's not godly.
Okay.
You just make a House of Cards and it's just a metaphor for what's ever going on in your life.
Who's Maria?
I don't know
anyone in the world named Maria. Why would I say that?
I just met a girl named Maria.
How do you solve a problem like Maria?
I don't know.
Maria?
Amy, Is there anything in your life currently that could be the metaphor for a house of cards?
Oh, well, I think this episode, because it's the fact that we all thought we were going to watch the same show, but it's really, you know, podcasting in connection with human beings depends on communication.
Yeah. Oh, you got that right.
Yeah.
And that's why instead of using the internet, I shout.
Oh.
You just shout and enunciate.
Oh. You don't go near the internet anymore at this point, huh?
Oh, no.
But your whole business is on there? Or not?
It's all on the internet.
Oh, do you shout your tweets?
Oh. I shout my tweets. Uh-huh. I say, hashtag done.
Emoji.
I heard that the other night. I wondered where that was coming from.
Well, I could not be more discombobulated at the start of it. This one, sometimes these episodes are a bit of a mess, and today it's going to be an unprecedentedly big mess.
What do we do?
It is inconceivable and unprecedented that two people have watched one episode and the other two people have watched the other episode.
But we can't combine both into one episode because then we'll lose an episode of this podcast. It won't be 431 episodes long.
I know. So I think we're going to talk about episode 25 because we never have talked about it. We can't skip 25 and go to 26.
And Riza and I will just do our best.
Tell us what happened. Yeah.
Well, but you can also, Riza, you said that you had watched episode 26.
Oh, yeah. I watched episode 26 very, very high. And I have many
very
notes.
High on drugs? You was high on drugs watching Bonanza?
I was high watching Bonanza. Wait,
that is a violation of Bonanza.
I'm confused. Bonanza doesn't get you high just watching it?
Oh, that's the thing I didn't know because it was my first time. And then I was like, I didn't need this. I didn't need this.
When somebody asks me, Dalton, you ever get high on drugs? I say, I get high on Bonanza, my friend.
That's right. It's visual peyote.
Yeah, that's going to be the pregame next weekend.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come over for the pregame. I'll just sit on my friends drinking water while we watch Bonanza instead of taking shots.
Careful which episode you choose, though. Some of them could be real downers.
Oh, God. Yeah. We might not want to go out after.
Yeah. A lot of women die.
I heard that.
I go as far as to say most women die.
Yeah, there's also not that many in.
No,
there's not.
Just one.
Well, this episode has a woman named Netta in it who lives real close. She's like a neighbor of the Ponderosa. Okay. So her character, she's in episode 25. Obviously, she's in 26 and all going on the rest of it.
No, but there is another woman in this who sort of is on her own named Sally, I believe. Was it Sally?
She was really pretty.
Really pretty.
Had the cutest little dress, but... Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm going to say.
Were her breasts pronounced?
Yeah, I think so. Wait, they were covered. They were covered, but nice.
Sometimes
shape.
They're in little circles beneath the cloth.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable. If you sweat, then you get sweat circles. Yeah.
Nobody's comfortable on this show.
No.
Nobody was comfortable in the old West.
No.
It was hard times.
No.
Now, I'm problem solving in my mind now, and I'm thinking you guys can go ahead and when apropos share some of your thoughts about episode 26.
Right.
Okay.
We might also say if Riza's available to come back next time to talk about episode 26.
Yeah.
That invitation will be extended.
That would make sense.
It does make sense.
All right.
Okay.
I'm down.
So much sense.
I just will say this about episode 26.
Okay.
And I was looking forward to talking about this, and you wouldn't know this, Riza, because it's the only one you've seen.
Okay.
The show changes.
What do you mean the show changes?
The music, the theme song is different.
Oh.
How's it different?
Because, Dalton, this one, Amy, this one's the heaviest, most dramatic episode of Bonanza I ever seen.
Oh, my God.
And they changed the music to be a drama.
Oh, my God.
There's no bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum-ba-da-bum. It's all bum-um.
Oh, yeah, it was an aggressive episode.
Yeah,
that's what maybe that, yeah.
Is it like Will Smith's new take on The Fresh Prince?
Ooh.
I haven't heard about that. Is he doing
not a comedy anymore.
Oh, it's like a telenovela.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like a dark, gritty Fresh Prince Bel-Air?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I love it when it gets dark like that.
Yeah, this was a very special episode of Bonanza, I gather.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this episode that was not very exciting and not unusual.
We chose wisely.
I can't believe it. Well, all right. This episode is called Escape to Ponderosa.
No, it's not.
Well, And the Avengers.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Here on this episode 25 of Bananas for Bonanza, we are discussing both Escape to Ponderosa and the Avengers. On the episode 26 of Bananas for Bonanza, we will only talk about the Avengers.
Well, shouldn't we watch the other one?
Oh, that's right. That's
exactly
what we'll do.
I don't want to miss an episode of Bonanza.
Fair.
Okay, folks, it's going to be bumpy for two episodes.
Well, and maybe that's what Bonanza is really about, is a search for meaning. Why are we here?
Why are we here?
Why? Have you guys read Primo Levi?
What's that?
Well,
I know a little Italian. I think it must be the first Levi.
No. It's the story of the Holocaust from a first-person memoir. But
who wrote it?
Primo Levi.
Oh, that's the person's name.
Yeah. Mm. Anyways, the point is that sometimes in not knowing, we will find knowledge.
In not knowing, we will find knowledge.
Oh, I'm just spitballing. I was going to make that on a wreath or insert. You guys have wreaths?
Yeah.
Right? Like around Christmas
time. Well, sometimes
Christmas.
You got to change your inserts.
Oh, what do you mean? I don't even know what a wreath insert is.
The thing you put in the center.
Yeah.
Oh, you change your wreath insert, yeah.
Okay.
You also got to change your urethras.
You got to change your urethra?
Urethras.
Yeah.
Seasonally and according to the holiday.
Yeah. I've heard that too.
It's like, I know a gal's got a mistletoe urethra come December. I'm serious.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah,
you see? Thank you.
That's how
they thought I was crazy.
No, we do.
Yeah.
Well, now, Riza, you was telling us before we got started that this episode of Bonanza is the first time you ever seen Bonanza.
Yes.
How's that possible? What happened? What went wrong in your life that you never
got television?
Or parents
gave you good guidance?
Yeah, no, we did have a TV, but I was a middle child of six kids, so like
you can't be. That's not possible.
Yeah,
you can't. How are you going to be the middle child of six?
I'm a double middle.
What?
Yeah,
you're just left of center.
So whoever's three and four, we're both the same. We're both the middle.
Are you the third or the fourth?
I'm the one. Wait, last.
Oh boy.
I'm the fourth.
So you're late middle.
Yeah, I'm late middle.
Okay.
Is there a Spanish-speaking version of Bonanza? Something that's deeply boring and Western?
No. Not that I can think of.
I pity you.
Yeah. I feel when I was little, I just watched like ¿Qué pasa USA? And like telenovelas in Spanish. But everything else was just all like the black sitcoms and like that's all I would watch.
But you would say, based on what you've seen, Bonanza speaks to the Latino experience.
I mean, I think it speaks to the Latino experience, considering there's not that many actors in the episodes, just like Latinos in TV shows or nowhere.
there was no Latino in the episode you watched.
Oh, just to fill you in on future and past episodes, when there are Latina characters, they're often played by white people too.
I'm not surprised.
You're not? Okay, I just
checked. And spoiler for next week, there's also none in episode 25.
Okay, yeah, but that checks out.
That is the case.
And the women die.
Yeah.
That often happens. Okay, well, do you have general impressions of Bonanza as a first-time viewer of Bonanza on a scale of one, where one is, this is the best show I've ever seen, I love it so much, I recommend it to all my friends, and 10 is, I love this show so much, it changed my life, I can't believe how wonderful it is, what would you put it on?
I'm going to pick a hard 7.
Okay.
Kind of a late middle.
Yeah, like me. like we did there. And this is because it's weird. The way that they act is so monotone and so weird. Yeah. And I love that shit so much. And I was like, I need to start watching from the beginning.
Yes, you got me.
You're in for a treat.
I cannot wait.
Oh, fantastic.
And I'm going to tell so many people to watch it. Like,
people come on here and go, I don't get it. This show's trash. It's just nice to know somebody appreciates fine quality entertainment.
Great.
Fantastic.
If you were interested in signing up with my Spell It Out script writing and acting seminar, what we do is how they act and write on Bonanza, which is you just say exactly what's happening in real time.
Yeah.
You know, so you say, I've shot something with my husband this weekend, and it's... we have a cast of 30 players, which is my collection of stuffed animals. And so dirty pig will be opposite a teething giraffe that we got at CVS.
Oh, Sophie, and I have her.
They'll say, teething giraffe will say, I am looking at you with derision because I'm not certain what you're saying about your relationship with airport raccoon is true. And then dirty pig says, just as you look at me, I stare hopefully into your eyes because I have to pay him the $60,000 today. Like, you know what's happening. There's no question where in the story you are.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they just had no emotion. I mean, like, are about to die, and I don't want to, can I say something?
I think it's going to happen.
Now. Okay, well, like, they're, like, about to die. They're, like, put them to hang, and, like, when they get saved, oops, spoiler, like, nobody claps. No. Nobody has any emotion. I'm like, Latinos, we, you know, you land in Puerto Rico, and everybody's clapping, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, woo, we landed, yeah! And it's like, these motherfuckers just got saved their lives. Yeah. And they were like, they just like unhung themselves. They took the rope off themselves with their own hands. And then just like turned around and walked down. And the sheriff's like, okay, cool. Like, day's over. Like, whatever. I'm going to go back home.
Yeah. Do you remember the biggest concern when the fellas come in to see Adam and Ben in the jail was, we ought to give you a close shave because the hemp can catch on short whiskers and be painful.
I was, well, in Bonanza, they shoot the rehearsal. That's what's and that's happening. It. So everything, all the rehearsals are taken and directly cut into the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful, though. In a way, that's sort of, it's just like, you know, the hanging itself, there ain't nothing we can do about that. But we can help you have a smooth introduction to the rope.
Right.
Yeah. That's very kind. Well, I can't wait to watch that one now.
Yeah, it's something.
I'd love to see those fellas clean shaven. Well,
you don't, though. They refuse.
Yeah, they say it's they're not here for it. Yeah. And they're gonna wear their shoes.
Yeah.
They're gonna wear their shoes.
They're advised not to.
Yeah.
Why?
Because they'll fall off. Was that what?
I didn't understand. Like, because I was like, so what if they fall off? Who cares? They're gonna be dead anyways. Yeah, are you gonna be embarrassed at your toes or something?
But then if you're not wearing your shoes, you're already gonna have no shoes on, so who cares if they fall off? You just end up in the state you already are in, and just as likely you'll keep them on.
Yeah.
And you mean to be saying boots. You keep saying shoes.
Oh,
right. I'd rather wear my boots up to the noose and kick them off than walk up there like a child in a pair of goddamn socks.
Yeah.
Isn't that when your legs, once that you lose the blood to your head, they begin to seize? And so wouldn't your boots shake a little bit?
I'm sure
shaking
they would.
In the boots. That's probably what that comes from. And to mention nothing about the fact that they're probably going to shit themselves.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, no, you lose control of your bowels.
Yeah, they don't offer them an opportunity to go to the toilet before they get hung.
No, they don't. And I'll tell you what, I one time crabbed my pants hanging a picture on the wall.
Mm. Yeah.
So I know I would.
Yeah. I hear you. Because you got to, if you hang a picture on the wall all wrong, sometimes that whole, by the end of the day, that whole wall is down.
And I was hanging up a picture of me being hung. So
terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, this episode, I don't believe anybody gets hung in this episode. More like just shot. And I'm ready to share some fun facts with you about the cast of episode 25, even though you guys are not familiar with these actors. But Jimmy Sutton was the ultimate bad guy in this episode.
But they're interchangeable.
Yeah, they are. Boy, do these two guys look alike. Sutton and Tyler, hard to tell them apart. They could be playing brothers, but they're not.
I thought he was the baby colt for a second.
Oh, the baby. Well, you hear about this baby colt.
Oh, this is intriguing.
There's a lot of that they all like. They look alike. Yeah, maybe it's the hats, too, because it's like a uniform.
The makeup, the grooming, everything.
I'm glad somebody said it. White people sometimes look alike.
All the time look alike.
All look alike.
It's fair.
I don't even know if I'm Dalton or he's me.
I call myself Mud all the time.
I'm a cara de cebolla.
You eat a lot.
These two two people watched the wrong episode. Two people speaking a different language. This episode, this is crazy, everything that's happening here.
Bonanza.
That's bananas.
So, okay. Joe Maross played Jimmy Sutton. Now, Joe Maross, later in his career, was on Highway to Heaven and on Quincy. So Highway to Heaven, he's being reunited with Michael Landon. Yeah. And on Quincy, he's being reunited with Pernell Roberts. I'd like to know what that was like. Hey, you remember me? I was on that episode of Bonanza first season. And what do you think? I would say no.
You know, I bet Pernell Roberts was like, I don't fucking remember.
Don't talk to
but
me
I
about
bet Michael
Bonanza.
Landon was like, sit down. Let me tell you about the Lord.
It was, but yeah, those are better reunions. He was also Joe Morales in a TV movie of the week based on the autobiography of G. Gordon Liddy.
No shit.
Yeah.
What was that?
G. Gordon Liddy.
Fair question.
That's a great question. I
he went to jail
either.
For helping to organize the Watergate break-in, and then he wrote a book about himself, and they made a movie of the week about it.
Well, he was a guy that apparently was such a badass in Nixon's cabinet. Well, he was an enforcer that at a party, his trick was he would put out a lighter and put it under his arm and wouldn't stop burning his arm until somebody did it, but he would never stop it.
Until somebody did what?
Pushed it away or couldn't take it anymore. He was just like, Mr., I'm not afraid of pain.
That sounds like a terrible thing to have happen at a party is the smell of human flesh burning at a party.
G. Gordon Liddy's flesh in particular.
Imagine having to be like the date of that person. Like every party he does it. How like literally annoying.
But you know what it does smell like? It smells like a barbecue.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
I'll bet it does.
They're always hungry after. We're eating barbecue after.
I'd go for a burger right now just talking about it. Well, then you had Grant Williams, who, again, he's a dead ringer for Joe Maross, unfortunately. Grant Williams was the lead actor in The Incredible Shrinking Man. You ever see that?
Yeah, sure.
You ever see that trailer? Or you seen that movie?
I seen the movie a long time ago thinking it would be like The Incredible Shrinking Woman with Lily Tomlin, which was a fun little romp. And I was real disappointed in the original.
It's this heavy drama.
Yeah.
But now it's just part of it is he's a fellow who has a cat.
That's right.
He gets... shrunk down.
I invested.
Yeah, me too.
Well, he gets shrunk down to the size of even smaller than a mouse. And then the cat becomes a major antagonist to him. He's living in a dollhouse, and the cat at some point is cramming his paw into the windows of the dollhouse.
This is a serious movie, you say?
Oh, it's a very serious movie.
Tell horror.
Yeah. But what I'm curious to know, I never did have a cat. If any of you had, what do you think that would happen?
If
If you got small enough to wear your cat.
100%.
Really?
Our cat, I know for a fact, if you die, they say you die, I think a dog has like 4 or 7 days before it'll eat your face because it's very loyal. But a cat will check your breath right away and just go to town on your face.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I want to, that's in my living will and testament, is to be eaten by pugs.
Really?
Old pugs.
Old
will be
pugs.
Left to
so they can take their time.
Yeah, take their time, nibble. Because they don't have teeth, because they're bred so much. They don't have teeth. Their teeth don't last. Yeah.
So a pug, even a healthy pug will gum its food?
Yeah.
I didn't
really
know that.
So you're just going to have multiple pugs gumming you until you're gone.
Yes.
That could take years.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful part of it. It's natural.
Oh, yeah, that is. That's
except for the breeding.
It's like a little massage the whole time.
Yeah.
Ashes to ashes, dust to pug food.
Gums to gums.
I'm just to get a mental picture, because I'm sure you have one. How many pugs are you imagining?
Well, right now, as we speak, there are 60 pugs looking for homes who are between the ages of 15 and 20 in Southern California.
Wow.
And I hope to be laid to rest.
Do you know if these are pugs that somebody said, I'm tired of it, I want to get rid of it? Or are they pugs that have never had a home?
No, well, you don't know their stories always.
Yeah.
But sometimes pugs are left off because of their brachiocephalic. They can't have problems breathing, and so they have health problems when they get older because they've been bred so much.
Yeah.
Remember when I said they've been bred so much?
Yeah.
To look cute?
Yeah.
And then...
So the result is they have no teeth and they can't
and
breathe.
And don't have homes!
Well, what's cuter than that?
Wow.
I'll tell you. A toothless little creature that cannot breathe?
And if I had my druthers, it would be only the ones who eat me would be only the mermaid pugs.
What's a mermaid pug?
They've lost all the muscle in their back legs because their hips.
Oh, no.
My God.
And so their backs are kept in little bags.
And they call them mermaid pugs.
That's right.
How many mermaid pugs are there?
Oh, there's at least 20.
Okay, so...
But the great thing is it's convenient for you because you can express them at home on your schedule.
they can't resist having their anal gland expressed because their hind quarters is out of commission. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, when they have to go potty.
Oh.
You just say, oh, well, you're going potty now.
Is this the same thing happened to Ariel?
To who?
Ariel the mermaid? Oh, does she have to be
the little mermaid?
Yeah. Does she get manually expressed?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where her poo-poo pee-pee comes out.
Ariel? No, me neither. They don't cover that. Well, aren't they making a live-action one?
Yeah.
They are.
They're going to have to get into it then.
Oh, they're going to have
no
to.
No more avoiding the question.
It's like if they're going to do a gritty Christopher Nolan reboot, you got to make sense of everything in the grounded reality.
Right.
So we got to see this, yeah.
We're going to find out.
Where's the cloaca?
Where's your cloaca?
That's a fun game if you've ever played it.
Where's your cloaca?
Yeah.
I never played that.
You haven't? Well, come on over sometime.
No problem.
I've got some ducks.
Is this a good time for a product placement?
I think
it's a perfect time.
Okay. One of the things is that it's so hard to date these days. And the great thing about this episode is to bring up distance dating. And that's the new service that Lost Daughters is going to provide is grab bag distance dating. You don't know whether the person's in prison or in the army, if they're dead, if they're gay, if they're on the other side of the barn. All you know is that you love them. And it's $19.99 a month. And when you find out who they are, you never do. So you're in love forever.
So the love just comes with it. Wow.
The love's coming. Well,
yes, in this episode, a fella, he's a ranch hand on a ranch, and he and the lady of the ranch fall in love with one another. But her father, who owns the ranch, runs him off. And then he joins the army. And then he, I forget what he did wrong, but he ends up in the stockade as a deserter from the army.
Now this is making sense, because when I looked at the episode I was going to watch, there was some Union soldiers, and I'm like,
here we go.
Have pressed play on the wrong one, because now I realize I never saw no Union soldiers.
See that? Yeah. That's what happened.
We have a more upscale concierge dating service called Baby Colt Introductions, where we leave you in a date with a baby colt. And you see, if you like your date's affect with the baby colt, and if you do, it's a match.
That is, that's perfect. That is perfect right there. All these different ways people trying to figure out how to get people together on dating for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think Amy Sleverson cracked it. You put two people over a baby colt, and does it have to be, as in this episode, a baby colt whose mother has died and therefore needs special care?
It can be, but all it depends on is that you both have the same reaction to it. So if you're both disgusted and confused, that's a match! If you're both caring and concerned, that's also a match.
What if you're both panicked? You don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about a baby
then
colt.
You go on to dinner.
What if you both say, well, let's put it out of its misery, and you both pull out a gun at the same time?
That's fine.
That's a match.
Take her to Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
That's when you know.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
It's the one.
I love it.
It's
all right.
That's my first wife and I, we met putting down a horse.
Oh,
did you really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I let her pull the trigger.
See that? And that's when she knew chivalry ain't dead.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's like letting them have the aisle seat or the window seat when they want it.
That's right.
Oh, on an airplane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My husband never lets me hold our gun.
Oh.
Whoa, really?
Really?
Well.
Has something happened in the past?
Well, sometimes. My hand's a little shaky. I've got an inborn tremor.
Inborn?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
It just means it's inherited from my mother.
Oh, okay.
But I see now why he doesn't let you hold the gun in his defense.
Yeah.
It could go off.
You could blame genes. Your genes.
Yeah.
Well, it's not your fault.
But it is, a little ableist.
Because,
even if my hand's a little shaky, I should be able to, I should be able to have the Second Amendment work for me, too.
I agree. Yes. Was there ever any incidents where your mother shot things she didn't mean to?
Did you know her?
No, I didn't know her. I never met your mother, but it sounds like the answer might be yes.
There's a couple areas in the house that got shot up, but it was just because she was just in a pissy mood.
Okay, all right. So it wasn't necessarily I'm just holding the gun and I've got this tremor and the trigger goes off. It's I'm holding the gun and I'm mad and I'm going to shoot something.
That's right.
That's the Second Amendment at work right there, goddammit.
Does the Second Amendment work for knives? Because I'm more into knives so much at this.
No, do you know that? No, the Second Amendment doesn't work for knives. There is nothing stopping Nancy Pelosi from taking our knives.
Okay. No way.
Cool.
I remember when I was a kid, I tried to get a butterfly knife from a swap meet. And you could have that, but you couldn't have a spring-loaded stiletto.
Huh. Isn't that a riot?
Isn't that a great story?
How big can a knife be and not have it taken from you when you go out to eat?
Good question. And that follow-up, how big can a knife be before it's a sword?
Hmm. Oh.
That's a good question. Hmm. Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, because now you got me interested, I'm going to buy a bunch of knives of different sizes and go out to eat and see what happens.
Yeah, you should do a little TikTok.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
When does a machete become a katana?
Oh, or a saber.
I have one in my smart car. Pull it out for you.
You have a katana in your smart car?
No, I wish.
I like that.
I have a machete and an axe.
Oh, man.
Just in case.
What do you get up to with those?
Oh, you know, it's just being a woman out in these streets.
It's LA, baby.
LA. I mean, they took my switchblade in Mexico, but that was, to be fair, was in my carry-on by mistake.
Oh, really?
Hey. Oh, boy.
You got to check your switchblades. They announced that over the PA at the airport. Yeah. Check your switchblades in your check baggage. Do not carry it on.
My boyfriend was very upset.
Oh, really?
That happened in his homeland. It's like, I'm so sorry. It's like, of course the Cuban brings a switchblade in her carry-on.
Now, could you fly into Cuba with a switchblade? No problem.
Yeah, in Cuba, no le importa nada.
They just hand you one at the airport.
Yeah, everybody gets one. Okay. You get a switchblade. You get a knife. You nothing. We ran out of rations, so you wait till tomorrow.
Here's your American Airlines complimentary switchblade.
That sounds good. I'm going to go there. Well, Grant Williams was also in a movie called Brain of Blood. And he and Gloria Talbot, who played Netta, his love interest in this episode, must have been just a few months before filming this episode, they was together as love interests in a movie called The Leech Woman.
Oh, wow. And did she play the titular Leech Woman?
She did not. They were two young lovers who's fixing to get engaged until the Leech Woman decides that she needs to drain the pineal gland of this woman named Sally. Because that's what the leech woman does. She drains the fluid of the pineal gland.
Leech woman gonna leech.
That's
she would have been in use of the blood brain.
I know, brain of blood. That's her secret to eternal life. She has to drain the fluid out of your pineal gland, and it happens like
Hillary Clinton,
just like that.
Okay, yeah.
And it happens to this woman, Sally, played by Gloria Talbot, and Grant Williams' character Neil. He doesn't care because he's fallen in love with the eternally lived woman, anyways. The leech woman. He's fallen in love with the leech woman. You will not be surprised to hear that Gloria Talbot, who plays Netta in this episode, has played Native American people numerous times in her career.
Nothing more Native American than the surname Talbot.
Talbot, like the Talbot story.
She grew up in Glendale, California.
Oh, wow.
As a matter of fact, her great-grandfather was one of the founders of Glendale, California.
No shit.
Opened
no.
the first hotel in Glendale. Yeah, Glenn. It was Glenn and Dale.
Yeah.
She played a character named Ruth Redhawk in a movie called Oklahoma Territory. And then she played Princess Irrawaddy in just something else. I didn't write down the title, but I do have a photo of her as that character, and I think you'll appreciate it. Because this is, can't get more authentically Native American person than that. Right?
Wow, those are some beautiful baby blues.
See?
I mean, yeah. You know, I actually can weirdly relate to that.
Yeah?
In middle school, elementary and middle school, I went to a private Catholic school in Miami, and we have All Saints Day and All Souls Day. and on
is that
us.
Halloween day or something?
It's
November 1st?
After, yeah, the 1st okay, and the 2nd. Right.
See, I know a couple of things.
And we would go to church on November 1st for All Saints Day, and I always was the, I don't know how to say her name properly because it's been so long, but they would like assign you who to dress up as. You're St. Francis. You're St. Mark. And I was always the Native American one. And I was like, I mean, I'm brown. And like, I know I look indigenous, like, and I was like way browner in Miami because I was just always playing sports all the time. Uh-huh. But literally, I like have so many pictures like of me like as like a Native American.
Like a costume like that?
They would give us a costume. And whoa. I was like, I'm like, oh my God, this was so problematic because I was.
But there's a Native American saint?
There is.
Really?
Yes. Oh my. I know. I mean, I didn't know until they made me dress up as her and like do projects on her.
What's her name?
I don't remember. I have to look it up.
Do you remember what she did for like her miracle?
No, but it was something with her, with the tribe that she was at. And like, I think, I believe like a Virgin Mary appeared to her as well. It was like a whole thing. Okay. Very magical and mystical and, you know, beautiful. But at the same time, I'm like, yep. I was always the Native American saint. And my best friend, Vicky, she was always Mary.
Could it be Katara Tekakwitha?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm like.
Baptized as Catherine.
Catherine, yeah.
Okay. And informally known as Lily of the Mohawks.
There you go. I think that's what Catherine sounds so like. I don't know why, but that
a Catherine saint and virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, I was a virgin, so that at least that checked out. That checked out.
Well, good, you might have been the only job. One there. That's how you got the
job. Phew.
That's wild. I never knew that before. All right.
It's hard to stay a virgin in Miami, right? Right. Because it's so sexy.
Well, you know, U.S. World News and World Report comes out every year with their rankings of where it's hardest to remain a virgin. That's in right. Miami always tops
always.
The list.
Always number one.
Glendale, real easy.
It's hot. It's so hot, too, that, like, nobody wears clothes.
That's the
problem. Like, I'll hear, like, sometimes, like, I'll get in trouble. Like, Rice, I'll put some clothes. I'm like, I'm sorry. I forget it. Miami brain.
Like, yeah.
Miami hot, brain. You know? Yep, Miami brain of blood.
The only reason I remained a virgin was because I had my choppers on for too long. I had a snowmobile suit and choppers, those leather mitts. And, you know, I couldn't get any action because I couldn't differentiate my fingers to get anything going.
Choppers are the gloves of a snowmobile suit?
I would have never.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I don't know snow things.
I thought you had some kind of tooth contraption on or something.
And did you wear them year round? Was that the problem?
Well, no, it's just the winter months.
I see,
winter
okay.
Months.
Yeah,
winter
yeah.
Months.
Mm.
What happened if you go to Miami in a pair of choppers? That's kind of like real equalization. Maybe you just lose your virginity like you normally would.
Uh-huh.
You would.
There's nothing remarkable about the timing of your virginity loss.
Right.
Choppers plus Miami. Okay. Gloria Talbot also played the titular role in Daughter of Dr. Jekyll, which we have discussed on this podcast before. And she also was the lead in I Married a Monster from Outer Space. She is the I in I Married a Monster from Outer Space.
Her biography.
Do you know the plot of that movie? This is a hell of a plot.
I can guess, but go ahead.
Well, there's more to it than just somebody marrying a monster. If that was going to be your guess. There's a planet full of space aliens.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And the females of their species have gone extinct. And so it's just a planet full of men, space aliens. And so they need to come find another planet with humanoids, such as they are.
They need a hole in a piece of wood.
They need humanoid women.
They should have landed in Miami.
Yeah, they didn't. Yep.
Where do they go?
I'm
like
not sure.
Oklahoma?
It seems that way. Middle of America.
Yeah. They blew it.
Yep.
Time.
And the aliens have a way of masking themselves they take over the bodies of regular people. So this woman has married a man and then he starts behaving strangely, and it's because he's an alien like so many of the other men. And Yep. How do the women go extinct? I don't know. They didn't explain it.
I blame the men.
Yes. Has it ever happened that, with a species here on Earth that just one of the genders goes extinct?
Well, didn't some species of frogs go, is it asexual or pansexual, or they basically mate with themselves?
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's like an amphibian for sure that does that. You might be right. There's a type of frog, I think.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, good for them.
I have a friend that posts a lot about frogs. So.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Robert?
No.
Oh, my friend that posts a lot about frogs named Robert.
Mine's a girl. I'm not going to say her name just in case.
Roberta.
Okay, Roberta.
Well, I mean, maybe Robert / Roberta is trying to get at something with all this asexual frog post.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to start a suicide club with some gals in my book group. Mm. Just to, you know,
Is this prevention or enthusiasm? Just to call.
You know, just because there's so many of us.
There's too many people
and
in the book club.
Women are loud.
Oh, I tell you what. You know, and plus, if it's a potluck, I assume your book club meetings are potlucks.
Yes, yes.
Once you've got the main course.
We bring a dish based on the book.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a great idea. But once you've got your main course and your salad and your dessert and your appetizer and your booze, that's five. Yeah, you don't need more than five people in your book club, right? After that, you're doubling up on desserts.
Oh, that's true.
Then you got leftovers.
Yeah, too much leftovers.
Let me some cold leftovers in the morning.
Oh, well, sure, it depends. Sure. Sometimes leftovers are a curse. It depends on what the dish is.
Yeah, if it's made by this one gal, I won't name names.
Roberta?
Marty Novacker!
Marty Novacker!
Oh,
what does she make every time?
Scallop potatoes.
Oh, come on.
Give me a break.
Who's still making the goddamn scallop potatoes?
Come on, Marty. Some of us are off carbs sometimes.
It has some nice ham, bits of ham in it, though.
Oh, there's ham.
It's okay.
You can pick out the ham. Yeah. All right. Last person I want to tell you about in this episode is James Parnell, who in this episode wears a giant, enormous pair of phony buck teeth, and I don't know why. But
I'm looking forward to that.
You're going
to
enjoy it. James Parnell, I'm looking into his backstory, and all I learned was that he died when he was 38. And I'm dying to know, how do you die when you're... There's got to be a cause of death. How do you die when you're 38? So I'm Googling, and I'm Googling. And the picture that keeps coming up whenever I Google James Parnell cause of death is
crucifixion.
Is this picture? It wasn't crucifixion, but this is the picture that keeps coming up. It's a man's head buried in the sand,
and that man is at the most 38 years old.
Yeah,
that's hard to believe.
I know.
Yeah,
that's James Parnell.
He looks close to 50.
Yeah. I'll post this picture on our Instacart. It's a live man whose head is sticking out of the sand like his whole body's been buried.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem happy about it.
I bet they basted him with honey and let the ants eat him.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
I hate the idea that somebody came along and just snapped a picture of that. And
must have been the person that done it.
I suppose so. Well, all right. You'll see these photos if you follow us wherever. So I guess we'll do a sort of a truncated description of this episode.
Makes sense.
Recap it in as briefly as we ever have.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sure.
The episode begins with three bad guys, Sutton, Tyler, and Mertz.
And the Hoot Owls and the Crowleys.
Oh, Hoot Owls and Crowleys?
Crowleys.
Maybe you watched a different episode. No. What did they talk about that?
Yeah, they said Hoot. They said there's Hoot Owls and Crowleys out here.
Oh, man, they're so scared. Well, they have escaped from jail is all we learn about them for now. And then Adam comes up upon them, and they get the jump on Adam Cartwright, and they clobber him. And then the first scene, I'm going to play a clip of this. Amy, you mentioned it before. After the burning map, this is the 25th instance of a burning map. And the credits of the... Hey, episode 26, is there a burning map? In the opening credits?
I'm trying to remember because I was also exercising.
All right. We will find out next week.
There is a map, but I can't remember if it burns, to
be
honest. I think so.
Well, so now I'm going to play this clip because now we go back to the Ponderosa. And Hoss is building a house of cards.
Mm. Whoa, timely.
Yeah. And what's his name? Little Joe comes in, and he sees him building this house of cards. And I think that's all I need to tell you for you to appreciate and enjoy this clip, which I'm going to make sure my volume's up.
It's hilarious.
Well, it is funny. It's real. Sometimes the show is hilarious.
Risa, these two, they're just so funny together. You'll see.
Yeah, they get into semantics. Okay, here we go.
I ain't got but three more cards left. I'm going to make it this time for sure.
I'll bet he doesn't.
Gee, I'm proud of you, brother.
Yeah, you have to breathe so dadgum hard when you're talking. You don't blow out in the house of cards here.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, when I mean I'm proud of you, I mean I'm really proud of you.
Ooh.
Oh!
Dadgum it, little Joe!
Can't stop laughing.
Funny. A few different things going on there. Now, yeah, you can tell from Little Joe's expression that he's going to knock down this house of cards, because it's just too much fun because Hoss cares too much.
He's the Loki of the Bonanza universe.
Yeah, for sure. And he says, now, I think he was meant to say, when I say I'm proud of you, I mean I'm proud of you. But he screwed up and he said, when I mean I'm proud of you, I mean I'm proud of you. That was the way that he delivered that line. And I think it was meant to be that on the second proud, he punches the P so hard that that there is what blows down the house of cards. Right. But simultaneous to that, Little Joe also shakes the table. So he wanted to. He wanted to make sure it was going to for sure go down. And then sure enough, that house of cards does go down, all but the last row, which stays perfectly intact.
Yeah.
So Hoss had glued together all the bottom row of cards quite clearly.
Oh.
And they only had one take at this because they was going to have to build up the whole rest of the pyramid beyond level one.
Right.
And so they couldn't fix Little Joe's line muff.
The prop department is already on OT. Yeah.
I'm not building another house of cards. Will you let me glue the second level, please?
Yeah.
No. One was bad enough. Well, so that was ridiculous. But that was the first scene right there in the episode. And then, well, I often try to get through these episodes fast and I find it hard. And this time I'm going to find it extra hard. But turns out, all right, the army shows up at the Ponderosa and they say, we've got three deserters who have escaped from the fort and this fort. And then they say, at one point, Paul says, you guys from the fort? Well, you must have your hands full. What with the Indian uprisings and everything? And he says, well, no, we are a casuals unit made up of misfits and outcasts.
What?
Yeah, it's a fort full of misfits and outcasts.
F-troop?
It must be. I guess F-Troop was a casuals unit. And it's they are unfit for duty. Everyone at this fort is unfit
for
duty.
That's the name of my new Christian noise band.
Oh, what a great name.
That's my husband and I. We realized there is no noise music representation in the noise music world by Christians. And so what we do is we mic for baby chihuahuas.
Okay.
Between that and a wall and a Rottweiler on the other side. And we mic the white Rottweiler. And then my husband plays this chainsaw into a karaoke machine that's playing Justin Bieber's Lonely.
Great song.
It's a great song. Because he is by himself a lot.
Well, now.
Yeah. Not now.
Oh, because he has the
What's
model.
Up with Justin Bieber? We have lost
track
of Justin
Bieber. She's so
thin,
you can't see her. Oh.
Hailey Bieber. Hailey Baldwin.
Hailey Baldwin.
His new wife.
Oh, did they get married?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're both Christians.
Yeah. Good they're very, they're old, very, are yeah. They? Yeah.
I'm
very
sure religious. The two of them are going to grow old together. Now, how is this noise band, doesn't sound like the content is religious necessarily. Not overtly.
It is just because of our intent.
Oh, okay. You mean it to be. Yeah. All right. Well, that works.
It's done in service of God.
Yep.
Anything that's done in service of God is Christian.
Dalton, I think you upset her.
I think I did.
I think you insulted her.
Sometimes you ask the most innocent of questions. It sounds like unfit for duty is very Christian.
Yeah, very Christian.
Unfit
yeah.
for very, duty most is Christian extremely
thing I've
Christian.
Ever heard. Yeah.
And anybody who hears that noise is going to answer the call to Christ.
I'm ready for the world tour.
Yeah. Thank you. White women's tears are so powerful.
They really are. Oh, they really are.
Move mountains.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Captain James Bolton is leading this army unit, and you'll see he has the most beautiful voice you've ever heard in your life.
How nice.
Beautiful voice and an injured hand. And he's, okay, then Adam shows up. They didn't, the prisoners didn't capture him. They just clobbered him on the head. And Ben struggles to remove the fake blood that's been glued onto his forehead. It won't come off at all.
You got a real Gorbachev or what?
Yeah. It was so cruel of these prisoners to glue on this fake blood on Adam's head. Pa can't get it off at all. And so then what happens? Then you got... the guys, they split up or something. I'm trying to get through it as fast as I can. Okay. Little Joe and Pa head out to help find these escaped prisoners with the soldiers. And Pa doesn't like this Captain Bolton one bit because he's like, you're on my land. And I've told you that those guys aren't hiding here in the Ponderosa Ranch House. And you don't believe me? Now they've got, so they already, they don't like each
other. Hoss doesn't go?
Hoss stays behind to babysit injured Adam.
And probably work on his little glued card house.
Yeah, he's
he wanted to take some of that glue blood to make his card house stronger.
Yeah, that's the blood he should have used. I mean, the glue he should have used.
I know. Should do that. Now, the guys split up a little
spirit
bit.
Spirit gum.
Oh, that's right.
Do you sell spirit gum at Lot's Daughter? Seems
oh,
like
yes.
you should.
It's we a sell chewing spirit gum, that- gum because it's spirit gum is, it's well, it's godly and it can help you have disguises for if ever you're pulling off a scam. As a Christian,
like an angel.
Yeah, like an angel. Like an angel. A lot of times you pretend you're one person in your life, and then when a person needs to have a revelation or an epiphany, then you take off the costume and you say, I'm an angel.
Wow.
I got that
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Really? I'd consider myself lucky to be the victim of a Christian scam artist. That would be a...
Well, it's not a scam if you've been saved.
There you go. You might... Maybe I took $10,000 from you, but you've been saved.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to that. So now the two guys, the two identical twins in this prisoner escape unit, take off to go to a ranch house where this woman Netta lives that the fella Sutton knows, and they leave Mertz, Bucktooth Mertz, they leave him behind hiding in a cave, and Bucktooth Mertz gets found by Little Joe and Pa and all them soldiers, and this is where Mertz says, he says, I'd rather die than go back to where with that butcher to the stockade. And so now we get the feeling that this Captain Bolton, Paul was right not to like him. He's a bad man. He doesn't treat his prisoners too good. And sure enough, he takes a shot at Mertz saying, you saw he's trying to escape. And Paul says, I'm going to turn you into Colonel Metcalf. Paul is buddies with the head of the Fort of Misfits and Outcasts.
Oh,
Paul Cartwright. So he's like, you're in trouble. I'm telling on you. I don't like you. Right.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's what happened. And now we got Sutton and Tyler are at the ranch, and it's the set we've seen before where
there's I know the one.
Yeah, there's the house and then there's the stable.
Sure.
And they're hiding out in the stable, and Netta comes in, and Sutton sneaks up. He says, hey, remember me? I've been away for years and I never wrote you any letters, but I love you.
Little hearts.
Yeah. And she more or less accepts it.
She acts like she's in Miami.
Oh, wow.
She said 305 till I die.
Yeah, she won't. And he keeps squeezing her arms like he's kneading dough.
Yeah. Mm. And then she struggles away, but not really. And then they struggle. They both struggle to hold each other.
Yeah.
Like they're in a wind.
Like a
beautiful.
Hurricane.
Yeah.
Now we're back at the fort. You got Pa talking to Colonel Metcalf, and Metcalf is just like, hey, I got to take the side of my Captain Bolton over you, Pa. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. But then when Pa leaves, he says to Bolton, he says, I've got my eye on you. That Pa Cartwright's a good man, and so on. Now we're back at Netta's house, and Haw pops in on Netta, Hoss, pops in on Netta, and she's acting all suspicious. And Hoss says there's escaped prisoners around here. And now she's no dummy. She says, I know these two fellas, my old boyfriend and his identical friend. They've got to be them escaped prisoners, right? Mm-hmm. And so she figures it out. And he wants her to hide them. And Tyler says, don't drag her into it. Tyler is obviously the bitter of the two. Okay, all right, all right. Oh, do I already talk about there's the little baby horse. Oh, damn it. Wake up, baby.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is good. We're going through it fast now.
It's a long, they're long episodes.
They're very long. They're long.
Yeah.
Netta and Tyler enjoy taking care of this cult. Tyler says many, many times that he prefers animals to people. Wake up, bud. Oh, bud, wake up.
Bud,
wake up.
Oh, I dreamt up. I was happy.
Tyler, at some point, he is so dirty from feeding this cult that he opens up his shirt, and he's with, you see his sexy chest and these scars on him. And at some point, he says, "I'm sorry you had to see that," to Netta, and she says, "I'm not."
Oh, she likes a bad boy.
She's into the scars. She's I like scars.
Scars are hot.
Scars are hot.
That's good. I got lots of scars from shooting myself up from the straight in the sky, coming back down.
Now wait a minute.
What?
Never mind. I thought we said that was harmless. You're getting hurt by those bullets coming back down on you.
I mean, what a relative term hurt is.
Okay.
For a guy like me who doesn't feel much pain.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Oh, we talked about it. You have a neurological problem. You don't feel pain.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Or joy.
So
life's weird.
Okay. That's why he dreamt. That's happy.
Yeah. I mean, someday.
Well, the Cartwrights go to Netta's house. Is it all four of them? Yeah, no. Adam took a week off to just try to get that glue off. He's not involved. And but there are other threes is, and they go in there, and then the paw, blah, 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 and the soldiers come. And wait a minute.
Oh, Riza.
Oh, no.
Riza, wake up, Riza.
Oh, no.
Dang it. Hick. We got a real throwdown here.
We're losing interest in our own narrative.
Oh, no. I'm not. We got Tyler explains his story of how he ended up in the stockade. He was told to take 27 men against 400 Apaches, and he refused the order. And it turned out that it was a diversionary tactic, and because he didn't do that, the main attack failed.
This is the most character development done on anyone in the series.
Yeah,
that's true. Why didn't they tell him it was a diversionary tactic? Good question. They didn't get into that. But Netta says it's good that he disobeyed that order. It was an idiotic order. And Haas says, no, Netta. And up to now, Haas has been getting along just fine with Netta and everybody else. He says, you're wrong. The army tends to know what they're doing.
Mm. It certainly does, as we know from all the Martin Scorsese films.
Which ones are those?
Who are you thinking of?
Where's it going?
I was thinking of the war movies from every Vietnam film.
Oh, yeah. Oliver Stone?
Oliver Stone. Edit it out!
Keep it in!
Keep it in!
Keep it in. Oliver Stone. It's basically the
Nora
same.
Nora Ephron war movies. I'm so sorry.
Soft focus.
Sophia Coppola's remaking Apocalypse Now with her dad's blessing.
Oh. Are you being serious?
I wish. No.
Oh, okay.
It'd be great. It'd be that Marlon be Brando
She's
and a kid.
Been focusing on wine right now.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Like her dad.
Yeah.
You get Bill Murray in there. I'd like to see Bill Murray.
As Colonel Kurtz?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. Stephen Dorff as Martin Sheen.
Oh, this is coming together fast.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, okay.
Are there famous Spanish-speaking war movies?
Oh.
Like, is there any films that told the Alamo from the true side of the story?
I honestly, I wasn't really, and my dad loved watching Westerns. Like, and I mean, he's Cuban, born and raised in Santiago, Cuba, but that's like, he would watch them like when he moved to like the United States.
Your dad's probably a fan of Bonanza, huh?
Honestly, I should have called him on my way here to give me some tips.
Uh-huh.
I bet he has watched it.
Bring him along next week.
Yeah.
If he's ever watched television, then he comes out of the TV room looking real high. Mm-hmm. He's watching Bananas.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Like feeling like there's just a glow about him.
Yeah.
Feeling fulfilled.
He's got the munchies.
I'd like to see the Cantinflas version of Vietnam.
Yeah. 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 That'd be real silly. Vietnam.
Yeah. I would too, tell you the truth.
I don't know what that is. Cantinflas.
He's one of the finest actors in South Central Spanish speaking cinema. He made over 150 films. I have my glasses on unevenly, so it's funnier. It's a visual. Yeah. 150 films he made.
Yeah.
Superstar.
I wonder if I've
seen
any.
Very like Charlie Chaplin-ish.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, okay. We're almost done telling you about this episode because now Paul Tyler, decent man. Oh, he says, I'm going to turn myself in. What happened to Sutton? I forget. Oh, who cares? Sutton got shot. Anyways, it all turns out fine. Tyler's going to go back to the stockade and serve out the rest of his time. He and Netta have fully fallen in love based on their shared desire to not see a baby horse die.
Baby horse.
And
baby horse tests.
Yeah. Sutton ends up dead, and so does Captain Bolton. Captain Bolton gets shot by Sutton, and it's just nobody cares. Paul takes one look at him and goes, he's dead.
Yeah.
That's it. Captain Bolton's gone. Yeah, he was a bad man.
They just leave people dead.
Yeah.
Who picks them up?
Yeah, most of the time, you get shot.
The pugs.
Yeah, that's when they bring in the old mermaid pugs.
Did you say, it's 20. So you picture yourself being gummed into non-existence by 20 pugs whose back legs don't work.
Who's expressing the pugs while they're eating you?
Yeah.
Wonderful volunteers.
Oh my God. Well, sign me up.
It sounds like so much saliva, but I'm here for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds very nice. Okay. So with that, my friends, I'm sorry to tell you there's only 406 episodes of Bonanza left to go.
My God.
And that counts episode 26, which we barely discussed. Yeah. And we will discuss in more depth next time.
And I will watch 25.
You're gonna watch 25. And Razie, if you're available,
you'll come back.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, I've got a phone full of notes. Full of notes.
About episode 26.
I wrote down everything that tickled me.
Okay.
Yeah. Raisa, you've been such a wonderful presence on this show that I want to capture it on this new product that I'm on Lot's Daughters. It's called a Give Cam.
Ooh.
What's that?
When someone's generous and kind, we have a new, it's a GoPro that we strapped to your head so you can catch it in real time. You being a good person. So let's say you give somebody, you say, you don't have a house. Would you like to have anything off the menu at Starbucks? And you get that all in real time. And you never get anyone a nitro cold brew. Never a
Why
nitro
not?
Cold brew. Because it's not good for them. And then,
okay.
Then my husband, it's uploaded to YouTube and he edits it and puts it on your social media within 6 to 9 months.
That is fantastic.
That's good.
That's fantastic.
6 to 9 months
but
is
a
hell of a lead
cam.
Time.
Gift cam.
Why does it take so long?
Well, we got so many small businesses. We're doing a thing. It's a business concept called side saddling, where you're never really on the horse of any one business.
Oh,
you're always kind of side saddle. Like, do we sell buttons? Maybe.
Oh, I'm in the button business, but if I have to, I can jump off.
I can jump off and get on this new one, or slide off and ride a donkey for a second.
Uh huh. That's smart. You figured out so many of the different angles there. Well, can I recommend if you want to say to somebody anything off the menu at Starbucks, get a second and a third choice because sometimes they're out of those cake pops. Okay. Raisa, do you have anything you want to plug before we just wear?
I want to plug Cuban coffee since we're talking about coffee.
Good cold. Cuban coffee.
So good.
I would say the strongest coffee I've ever had is a Cuban coffee.
Really?
Colada. So if you go to Miami, order colada. It's supposed to be shared, but drink it yourself. You'll be so wired all day long.
It's supposed to be shared. Is this why people lose their virginity so early?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, because you're supposed to do a little shot. And then if you do the whole thing, that's it. You're like, I don't want to be a virgin. And then somebody comes and that's it.
That's Ooh, it.
Wow.
Pumped yep. and you're ready.
Okay, so Cuban coffee.
I got comes to you, not God. It's like I realize that's how I said that.
Cultural roofie.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
But personally, I guess I'll plug the podcast. We are on a little bit of a hiatus.
Spanish IQ presents.
Yes.
It's
yes,
on
yes,
a hiatus, meaning you're going to come back.
We're going to come back. Okay. We're just taking a little break. We got a little busy.
But you're successful. And you have live shows here in Los Angeles.
Yes, yes, yes. We are having our first live show. I don't know when this episode will drop, but it's
soon.
Yeah, okay.
When is it?
It's on February 4th, next Friday.
I don't. No, maybe.
Is it already sold out?
It sold out in 4 days. All right,
then I think you won't be disappointed to hear that this episode will come out about 4 days after.
Okay, no, that's fine. But like, you could follow us on Instagram at Spanish Aki Presents. Okay. And we're going to be having a live show every, hopefully, first Friday of every month going forward.
Fantastic.
As long as the world doesn't shut us down.
Yeah, right.
And I guess I'll plug my personal Instagram. That's where I post like anything else that I do. Yep. The podcast, the shows, my cats, basketball, my workouts.
And what's that called? How do we find that? Just your name?
It's at Raiza Licea, RaizaLicea.
And that's on Instacart.
Instacart, yep. Okay, Instacart, good. Yeah.
And while you're there, you can see these pictures that I talked about today.
Yeah.
Mutt Taylor, you got anything you want to tell us about?
No, I'm just going to do some grocery shopping on Instagram later.
Yeah. That's how I'm doing it these days. Yeah. Yep. All right. Very good. Now, Amy Sleverson, I know you plugged a few things.
Oh, I know. We just have a new episode on her show. My husband and I are doing based on our Spell It Out script writing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's between the squishable unicorn and the fat bottom rabbit that we got at the airport.
They're doing it. They also came from the airport. Because before you said airport raccoon, I thought to myself, what an exciting life for a raccoon that would be. Yeah. I know you're talking about a stuffed animal raccoon.
Stuffed
you got
animals
at the
you get at the raccoon airport.
But if there ever was a raccoon that lived at the airport.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Do people still live at the airport?
Yes.
That's a thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Living at the airport?
Yeah, really? You just keep moving. You got your bag, you got a cart, you just keep going.
And the bars at the airport, they'll serve liquor starting at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
Your time somewhere.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, very good. That's an episode of Bananas for Bonanza, a strange one, but we made it through all the way. We started at the beginning, and here it is at the end.
We'll
and
make good on it.
Lasted an
week.
Hour.
Yeah. Roundabout. All right, that's episode 25, Bananas for Bonanza. So long.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly, with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley, with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris, and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gorley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Aukerman. We'll see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.